You found the business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines metro. The Business News Hour from Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications and the training team at Tarot International. Learn the skills necessary to improve your career and your business at Tarot. That's Tarot.com. T-E-R-O.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for coming back after that market report anyway. And we appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday afternoon. With us in studio, and this is going to be a little bit different because usually Mike Caldwell graces these microphones. We have a conversation about startup stories, part of the Greater Des Moines Partnership and Square One DSM, but he's not here. However, we have a most excellent replacement for him, Kyle Oppenhauser from the partnership. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Michael. Thanks
and how
for
have you been,
us.
My friend?
Very good.
And congratulations to you. You won like you're like the god of young people in Des Moines. Is that what I understand?
It was the Juice Young Professional of the Year Award, yeah. Des Moines Registered Juice YPC. So, yeah, pretty great honor for sure.
And I will kiss the ring here in just a moment.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you something, and this is totally off subject of what we were talking about, but I thought that you gave perhaps the most – in getting the award, you were very humble.
Well, thank you.
Very humble. And I think that, you know, that you don't always see that. And it was very touching. So congratulations, Kyle.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. So let's talk about what Square One DSM is and startup stories before we bring in Kelly to talk about Dorothy's House.
Yeah, absolutely. So Startup Stories is a monthly luncheon in the at the partnership. It's, I believe, the third Wednesday, so it'll be this coming Wednesday, March 15, and really what it is an opportunity for entrepreneurs in the area to tell their story.
Right.
They do an interview with Mike Caldwell, who you mentioned, and Mike will really ask some questions to get the folks to open up about what lessons they've learned as a startup founder, what lessons that other people in the room can learn from them. It's really just a great way for entrepreneurs and people who are in that space to meet each other, learn from each other, and hopefully take away something from that.
And individuals that go, they can choose to get a meal there or bring their own meal.
That is correct.
And for a very nominal price. And it all happens at the partnership building at 700 Locust, correct?
You are right.
Yeah. And so normally, Kelly, normally Mike talks about tech startups and startups in the software world and things like that. So this is a real diversion for him because they're going to be talking about your passion, which is Dorothy's House. Welcome back to the NewsHour. Nice to see you.
Thanks very much. I think Mike has a little spin on it, though, with my background at eBay and in Silicon Valley. So how did I leverage some of my skills and experience in the startup space to prepare myself for Dorothy's House?
Exactly. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So we might as well just break it out. You were one of the early people to head out to Silicon Valley and work in in technology with eBay.
I was number 189 at eBay. Yeah, when I left 5 years later, almost to the day, we had just peaked 8,000 employees globally. So it was a whirlwind.
So you and Meg hang out together?
We did, actually. In my last 2 years, I was in the international division. And if she traveled to any of the countries that I managed, I would oftentimes fly on her jet. And being one of the few women in management there, we would oftentimes sleep together in her berth at the back of the plane. So
How fun.
Yeah, not really.
Well, I mean, it's a fun story.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, I think, about this, we were having a conversation out here in the green room prior to you coming in. And, you know, I have some background with regard to eBay. eBay at one time was trying to figure out how to reach agriculturalists in selling equipment. And so I had a trip out there and spent about 4 days on campus. And it was an exciting time. It really was. And the people that worked there, I have never met so many young, bright people in my entire life.
Yeah.
Kind of fun, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. When I started, I was one of the older people in my early 30s who worked for the company, and all the people that I worked for were younger than me, smarter than me, better looking than me, many, many things. But it was such a great opportunity and experience.
And what exactly was it that you were doing?
So I was their first marketing hire, and my job was to figure out ways to bring registered users further along in the revenue stream. So if they had, if they'd registered but not placed a bid, to get them to place that first bid, and if they were regular users, to get them to the next step. So really, we built the infrastructure and the programs around marketing to our installed base, which is arguably the largest in the world.
Yeah. So, and you know, one of the fascinating things about this, here we are now in 2017, so that's been some time ago. But, you know, I'm old enough that I remember that very well and what cutting-edge stuff that was. I mean, you know, we had just recently got out of email that was all in green letters, for crying out loud. So it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was just a PhD per year.
I'm sure it was.
In the 5 years I was there, so it was a great experience.
That's the voice of Kelly Markey, ladies and gentlemen. We're, now she has returned to Iowa, and she has another passion, and that's called Dorothy's House. So while we can put the spin on startup stories with regard to your tech experience, this is something totally different.
Yep. So Dorothy's House is really a test in our community. When we look at the nature and severity of abuse of children in our community and the rate at which they age out of our care systems, to really see that if we can bring the vast services that are available and resources that are available in our community to these children and young adults and wrap them in care and services rather than expect them to go out in the community and find them on their own, can we affect a better outcome? And we're doing it for girls who are recovered from the sex trafficking and exploitation space.
And that's your primary mission, correct?
That's correct.
Right. And how pervasive is that sex trafficking here in Iowa?
It's really big business here. And I think what people don't realize, you know, on any given day, we can probably identify 100 or 150 girls in our community that are being sold for sex. But for every 100 that there are 100 that we don't see.
Now, when we talk about being sold for sex, is this as a prostitute, or is this working for a pimp, or how does I don't know.
We don't really use the word prostitution anymore, because most women who engage in this business were taught that their bodies are their only asset to make money, to take care for themselves and their children. And they learned this behavior, and they were manipulated to believe that that's all they're good enough for. So it happens a couple of ways. And one is the traditional pimp that you might think of, which is really a very highly sophisticated network of people who engage children in relationships and manipulate them into the business over time. Drugs in our community is a big way that this happens, labor trafficking, and ultimately, and probably the hardest to get your head around, are the parents and family members who sell their own children.
Stunning.
Yeah, place-based trafficking is what we call
that. Say again?
Place-based trafficking. The kids that we see in our communities, in our schools, that this is happening to and goes unnoticed.
That's the voice of Kelly Markey, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Dorothy's House, one of the startup stories that's going to be taking part next week at Square One DSM at the Greater Des Moines Partnership. How young are some of these kids?
The average age that a girl is taken into this industry is between 10 and 14. We've seen kids as early as 2. And
what?
Porn is generally the way that most young kids are introduced into this industry, and why porn has become free and more pervasive over time. It's just sort of now the lead-in to more and more behaviors attached to this.
When you were talking about the individuals that recruit young women, or I get this picture in my mind that it's maybe not as much recruitment as it is turning the right levers to make them do whatever these people want them to do.
So it's recognizing, those children who are most vulnerable in our community, the ones that have had adverse conditions in their childhood, divorce, poverty, exposure to substance abuse, alcohol abuse, who become vulnerable to this problem and are looking for love and looking for relationship and looking for things that they don't necessarily get at home. Runaway children who are oftentimes not there, where their parents aren't looking for them, is another real big problem, who turn to survival sex to get their basic needs met, and it becomes a very slippery slope for them as well.
Now, where do many of these children, where do they reside while they're engaged in this activity?
Well, if they're being sold by their family members, they're in their own homes. And if they're taken by other people into this industry through drugs or through pimps, they're usually in a house in our neighborhood. They live in all of our neighborhoods, and they, you know, drive around in nice cars and live and work among us.
Hmm. And what are some of the things that we as citizens might want to know about spotting that type of behavior?
I think primarily is if you have a sense that something isn't quite right in a relationship or in a child who is maybe exhibiting behaviors, instead of asking yourself, why is this child behaving the way or acting so badly, ask yourself what's happening to this child that's creating these behaviors. And underlying that, many, many answers will come to light that we just have to believe.
And how are you funded?
So it's all private funding. I do a lot of speaking engagements and grant writing and outreach to the community and to different organizations. So it's important that we continue to do the outreach in our community so that we don't have as much control over the opportunities we can bring to our girls with that private funding.
You know, Kyle, one of the things that the Greater Des Moines Partnership is so involved in is Capital Crossroads 2.0.
Right.
And yeah. We've talked about this endlessly, it seems like, over the past couple of months, how that initiative really does touch all aspects of our lives at one point or another, whether it be transportation or housing or education or whatever it happens to be. Those segments of Capital Crossroads 2.0 are largely there. How does this fit into that? Is it in the healthcare system? Is it in the mental health care? Where might Capital Crossroads 2.0 be assistive in getting more information out about this?
I'd like to know that too.
Yeah. Certainly there's a wellness capital committee that I think this would absolutely fall under. And I think overall, Capital Crossroads, like you mentioned, is a community-wide initiative mm-hmm. that touches almost every part of our community in some way. So I think there would be a lot of opportunities there. My sense would be that, you know, listening to you talk about these statistics, they're just sobering, and I had no idea. I would have never even thought of that. So my sense is that it's probably not top of mind to a lot of people, but hopefully we have the opportunity through this event and through continuing to share that story that we can get some community leaders involved with this as well.
Absolutely. And you know, I there are many individuals, many people enshrined in all of these not-for-profits out here. And I suspect that when you go to speak to them, whether it's the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or whatever club it happens to be, or the local chamber, that people are almost as slack-jawed as I am while you're speaking.
Yep. So like any good startup, success is timing. And mm-hmm. there's so much awareness for this topic right now, which makes my job a lot easier in fundraising. But when people are made aware of this problem, they just can't turn away.
So why this, Kelly? You come from eBay, and you were a tech genius out on the West Coast, and now you're back in Iowa spearheading a program like this. Why?
I just have had so many great opportunities and mentors and experiences in my own life that when I did come back, volunteerism felt like a good way to start giving back. From that experience, I became a foster parent and saw more and more of this behavior in my own home. And when I was flipping homes, found this house that spoke to me, and God gotten involved in the middle and sort of started driving the train from there.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
I know.
There are nothing happens by chance.
I used to be very much leaned up for the for-profit space, so not so much anymore.
Good for you. It is called Dorothy's House, and you have an open invitation to attend Startup Stories. It's going to be coming up next week, as a matter of fact, on the 15th, I believe it is. And Kyle and everybody will get you seated at that event where Mike Caldwell will interview Kelly and have more conversation about Dorothy's House. So we will have the links to that sign-up page and also a link to Dorothy's House so that you can learn more on the radio blog. Kelly, good to see you again.
You as well. Thanks.
All right. You take care. Kyle, thanks for bringing Kelly in.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael.
Always a pleasure to see you, sir.
Likewise.
Take care of yourself. All right. We're going to have to step aside because it is, well, nigh on 6 o'clock. And that means we got to get out of here. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, our first guest today was Biff Ridgway from Bike World. Of course, the partnership, as well as Kelly Markey from Dorothy's House in the second interview. Also, we want to say thank you to all the people that put this together each and every day. Our program director is Patrick Wood. The man on the controls tonight, as he is each and every night, is Tyler Hackenmiller. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. And the music that you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted specifically for the Business News Hour by our friend James Goodlett. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. We will be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5:05. Tell them, be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.